Should Christians stand up against anti-Semitism and replacement theology, defending Israel's unique biblical promises and calling all nations to repentance in Jesus? Does a conversation in the public square, or even in the church, echo biblical truth about Israel's irrevocable covenant and its future redemption, or is it colored by political, cultural, and theological misconceptions? Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. Check us out at fpiw.org or fpiwaction.org. We have a lot of great resources. If you go up there and click on that public square ministry, you'll see a lot of resources on prayer, voting, evangelism, discipleship, and so much more in outreach. And we just want to encourage you to be involved. If you're enjoying these daily devotions, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, comment, or place in that Washington Defender Huddle. It really does help us out to help the algorithms to get better and better and better, and we get the word out more and more. So what are we doing here? We are always trying to change our hearts so we can change the public square. And the only way I know how to change your heart is to dive into God's word, let the Spirit of God just come in and move on us, convict us of our sin, and walk with him. So in repentance and humility and grace and mercy, and all that God has for us. So we've been in a series called Practice. And the whole concept of today is whatever field you show up to, if you show up to a football field, a baseball field, whatever you go to practice, that's what you're going to be practicing. I know that sounds deep, but you practice baseball at baseball. You practice football at football. So are you practicing righteousness or unrighteousness? That's the whole key as we talk. So we're in an interesting portion of scripture. It's in Romans chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. It says, therefore, there will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil. Look at that. There will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek or the Gentile. So I want to point out a couple things about Israel. I want to point out a couple things about the Jews and also the Gentiles. And the first and foremost, when it comes to salvation, there's only one way to be saved, and that is through Jesus Christ, the Messiah, Yeshua, and that he is the biblical fulfillment of prophecy in the Old Testament, whether it be the book of Isaiah, the Psalms, whatever it might be. And so we have that same playing field for salvation. Therefore, will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, to the Jew first. But glory and honor and peace to everyone who does good, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek or the Gentile. Now, what does this, how is this laid out in like the New Living Translation? There will be trouble and calamity for everyone who keeps on doing what is evil, for the Jew first and also for the Gentile. But there will be glory and honor and peace from God for all who do good, for the Jew first and also for the Gentile. So I want to talk to you about tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil. And I want us to think about it because we have a lot of anti-Semitic behavior happening around the world, a lot of replacement theologies going around as if the Jews and Israel are not truly the same people in their own homeland. And I want to address this issue straight on because in the public square, you're going to encounter this. I know I was walking through an event here in Spokane just a couple weeks ago, and there was a Free Palestine table, and there was there was just comments around that table that about Israel and about anti-Semitic behavior and all this kind of stuff. And I just want us as Christians to be 100% clear that this is one of those evidences that the Jewish nation, Israel, will be around in the last days. There's going to be Jews and Gentiles. Now, I'm overall a Gentile. I do have some Jewish blood inside of me, but not enough, I don't think, to count. Otherwise, I'd probably be moving to Israel and that kind of thing. But the fact is, there are Jews and there are Gentiles. And so there's going to be, if you haven't come to know Jesus Christ and you're a Jew or you're a Gentile, you need to do that. There's also glory, honor, and peace to everyone who does good, the Jew first or Gentile. So let's look at the promise of Abraham. And this actually takes place about three or four times in the Old Testament. But I want to look at Genesis chapter 17. It says, I will establish my covenant between me and you, between God and Abraham, and your descendants after you throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you. I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land you're sojourning, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. So there's a few things that we need to understand here. That salvation, same playing field, right? Jew, Gentile, doesn't matter. You need Jesus. There is a special recognition of the nation of Israel in this covenant with God. And what most people may not understand, or some people don't understand, is that there's a couple nuances in this scripture here. We see first and foremost that this is from generation, is an everlasting covenant. When God says everlasting covenant, is that just hyperbole? Is he just kind of, no. He's being factual right here. It's an everlasting covenant. When you understand scripture a little bit more literal, I think, than some want to take it today, especially those with replacement theology, you understand that the nation of Israel, for whatever reason, God chose them, and he is his chosen people, and he set them apart, and the church did not take place of that. The second thing we see in this, so that was number one, it was an everlasting covenant. He talks about land, and he says, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession. So the word everlasting comes up twice. We have everlasting up here, an everlasting covenant, and we have an everlasting possession of the land, and I will be their God. Now, oftentimes people look at these things and they're like, well, you know, we don't know if it's this or that. There has always been, you don't understand scripture in the Old Testament if you don't get this, there has always been a remnant of Israel and Jews in the promised land. They've always been there. And so they haven't been completely exiled from them. And God gave them the land. So you're saying, you want to say to me, well, why did God give them the land? I don't like they gave them that. Well, you're not God. You don't get to make that choice. It's not up to you. So first and foremost, it's an everlasting covenant and it's everlasting possession of the land of your sojournings, all the land of the Canaan for an everlasting possession. By the way, that land, if you were to go back through the Old Testament, is much larger than the current footprint of Israel. All right, let's look at Romans 11:1. So Paul, who is a Jew and who is from the tribe of Benjamin, says, I say then, God has not rejected his people, has he? So his question is, has God given up on the Jews? May it never be. He says, God forbid, no, he has not given up on the Jews. He says, may it never be, for I too am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham of the tribe of Benjamin. He's saying, hey man, I'm one of them, and in no way has God given up or rejected his people. A little further down in the chapter, I'd encourage you to read the whole thing. For I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation. This is where many people in our society and culture, including the church, are trying to be wise in their own estimation. They're trying to figure these things out on their own instead of just reading their Bible. That a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fulfillment or the fullness of the Gentile has come in. Do we see Jew and Gentile there? Yes. So there is a partial hardening of Israel. This proves that the Israeli government probably and will be in a place of rebellion against God, doing the things that aren't honoring and pleasing him at times. We know this, that there is a partial hardening. That hardening also is happening in America over our government not honoring God as well. And so that is not a judgmental statement. It's a reality of the times that we live in. And so there will be a partial hardening of Israel until what? The fulfillment or the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, just as it is written. The deliverer will come from Zion. He will remove ungodliness from Jacob, which is, you know, we understand that the deliverer is going to come and remove all the ungodliness that's there. He says, this is my covenant with them, when I take away their sins. From the standpoint of the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but from the standpoint of God's choice, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. So what is this saying? From the standpoint of the gospel, who's the they? Well, if you look in the context here, the they is, for I do not want you, brother, uninformed of the mystery, so that you will not be partially hardening of Israel. The they is Israel, which if you go back to the top of the chapter, it's his people. They've been rejected. So this is very clear. A New Testament writer, Paul, is telling us, who is a Jew, is telling us that this idea, for the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. Aren't you glad that God says, I'm having an everlasting covenant and I'm having an everlasting possession of a land? And these things are irrevocable. So what's my hope today? Well, we can take an application first and foremost. What will you practice today? Evil, and you're going to experience tribulation and wrath from God, or good, and you're going to experience glory and honor from God? That's first and foremost. Secondly, in the public square, you may come across anti-Semitic behavior, comments, people saying that Israel's not really Israel, or that, that's not the Jewish nation, or what have you. Well, first off, they're just flat out wrong. The nation of Israel, is the footprint is much larger than what it is right now. And you may not like some of the things that the government does. That's fine. You don't have to like everything they do. But you have to understand that God's chosen people, the Jewish people, God has not forsaken them. And since he has not forsaken those Jewish people, he will not forsake us. So I hope this was helpful to you today. I hope that you'll stand for righteousness and holiness and justice, that you will not allow that anti-Semitic behavior to be exemplified in your heart, in your workplace, or anywhere around you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray for the nation of Israel. We do pray repentance to come to the Jewish people. And we pray that that partial hardening that you talk about in Romans will be lifted and that they would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord, we know that we're ending the time of the fullness of the Gentiles coming in. And so, Lord, we just ask for repentance to come to the Gentiles as well. We know that you are able to do far more than we could ever dream of or imagine. Lord, let us judge people not based on their ancestry or whatever they have, but let us judge people based on the merit of what they have done, their deeds. And so, Lord, we just thank you for what you have for us. Give us your glory. Let us walk in the goodness of God and do the things that are fitting to please you. In Jesus' name, amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that Champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.